Good morning once again. Our scripture text is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 3. And we're going to be focusing on this part of the verse, making broader applications from the principles behind our Lord's statement. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Now, every text has its meaning and context, and this one is very plain to us. But more than this, every text has many life applications, and sometimes, as in our text this morning, underlying principles. So then, let us draw from God's word. First, that the Christian ought to act discreetly. Second, let us not keep track of what we or others are doing for the Lord. Third, let us leave the results to God. And finally, the reward we get is of the same nature as our motive. If we have an earthly motive, we can expect an earthly reward. And if we have a heavenly motive, then we can expect a greater reward, a heavenly reward. So first, the Christian ought to act discreetly. Never should we be ostentatious like those clergy of old who wore distinct robes, doing all their works to be seen by men. Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Notice the Pharisee prayed thus with himself. That's what jumped out at me out of this passage. He wasn't praying to God, but rather he was singing his own praises for everybody in earshot to hear. And in Luke chapter 18, verse 12, he exalts the Holy Trinity in his mind, me, myself, and I. Let us not call attention to ourselves. No, not many young women know how to be modest these days, but praise the Lord, some do. The scripture says this, as a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. And then Paul tells Timothy the flip side of that. In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. And these, of course, done discreetly. For men, it is hard to swallow pride, exercise humility, and practice self-control sometimes. I know there may be some women who struggle in these areas as well, but these things seem to be more peculiar to men. Proverbs also has something to say. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. You may have heard the song, "You Talk Too Much." It was out back in the 60s, and then it was remade many years later. And, you know, there's a line in there that talks about the one who speaks 25 hours, 8 days a week, and the song advises discretion in speech. Now, the song, I guess you could find it humorous, but the principle espoused in the song is a biblical one. The fool is known by his many words. And the worst kind of fool is the one who brags on his or her own spiritual superiority over the rest of us, who, like our Pharisee friend praying in the temple, come across prideways in appearance or in conversation. Our second application this morning is, let us not keep track of what we or others do for the Lord. As Jesus put it, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So we concern ourselves with this, but we're also not to be concerned about others and what their hands are doing. Let's not get beyond what we're doing. We have enough to deal with in and of ourselves, in our own selves, our own spiritual walk, without worrying about what everybody else is doing. Let God do that. He's good at that. Now, if you've won 7 souls to the Lord by giving the gospel, by saying Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead, do you believe this? And if 7 people receive it, then go out and win 7 more, and then win 70 times 7. You will never have done too much. You will never have done just enough of whatever gift you use for God, which after all was from him anyways. Even if you have deceived yourself into thinking that you have excelled all of God's servants. Now, after Jesus' resurrection, we read about his interaction with Peter. And Peter was more concerned with what John was doing than himself. Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" And I love what Jesus says. It's one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. It's really hit home to me. "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Friend, if you want to compare yourself to someone, may I suggest that you compare yourself not to others, but only one man, Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God. And in that, we have perspective. Then live your life. Then do your good deeds. And do them before an audience of one. Let us leave the results to God in this. The work is not our work. It is His work. The fruit are not our fruits. They are the Lord's fruit. Many have been discouraged because others have not responded as we would like. So the right hand goes forth and blesses others and is met with unthankfulness, hatred, all manner of negative response. And then the left hand says, you're not going to bless people like that anymore. Doesn't work. Look what you get. I'm glad that the folks who told me about the hope that I could have in Jesus Christ didn't have that attitude. Now, if I gave you each a $20 gift card to your favorite coffee shop, which, by the way, I won't do, lest I fall into the trap of the Pharisees and hypocrites, and only five of you send me a thank you card in the mail, next year, when the Lord sets this on my heart, the left hand will not tear the cards out of my right hand, because the left hand doesn't know anything about it. I shall give again. What then if one of us gave out a Bible, the gospel, a hand up to someone in physical or emotional need? Shall we not leave the results to our Lord? And so we come to the final point this morning, that the reward we get is of the same nature as our motive. When you do something, ask yourself, is your motive to please, impress, or to be noticed by other people? Well, then, if they receive you that way, and they are indeed quite impressed, then you have your reward. It is an earthly reward, and it will pass away quickly. And even if your name is emblazoned in lights on the side of some building, your good deed will pass away when you do. Or, contrarywise, is your motive to please worship or serve God your Savior? If so, then you will have your reward in heaven, where it will last. Consider what motivates God. God has no motivation in any earthly sense, for He created the cattle, and He owns the cattle in 1,000 hills. But yet, what motivates God, amongst other things, is His love. For God so loved the world, for that was His motivation to give His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. Consider what motivates Jesus. You read through the Gospels and you see Him walking around this world that He created. And every time He walked by folks with the need, He responded with love, with grace, with mercy, especially with compassion. When He saw the multitudes, He had compassion. A desire to spare all men and women from God's judgment and wrath against sin. For God desires that all men come to the knowledge of him, that all men receive his salvation, that all repent, and that not one is lost. And when anyone rejects this gracious offer, then in so doing, they are rejecting their only hope. And they only have themselves to blame. Friends, Christ's motivation, God's motivation, is seen in that he demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Is the Spirit working in you this morning? Have you believed and received the Savior? Or if not, will you? And if you do, tell someone the sign of peace, and there will be rejoicing on earth just as there is in heaven over one sinner who repents. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for your guidance. Help us to conduct ourselves in every area of our lives with discretion. May any honor that comes as a result of anything that we do or are a part of be rightly directed to the one who is worthy of all praise and honor and glory, our God and Savior Jesus Christ. We ask that you will work in us to convict us regarding the exact nature of our motives, whether they be earthly or heavenly. And may you align us to your will, that our motives might be pure, that the fruit might be truly godly, lasting fruit, and that in all things you will be glorified. We ask your blessing upon the sign of peace, the communion message, the communion table, the fellowship that may ensue in the remainder of our day. We ask that you give special aid to those who could not make it here today, who would desire to be here. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.